Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Always a pleasure to hear my Dave Solomon, especially when I hear that voice, one of the best ever, on a day like today, because the sun is out in Baltimore. Ladies and gentlemen, can we please just give a big fat hallelujah to that fact? Whoa, man, let this be the end of winter for much of the Mid-Atlantic and the East Coast and wherever else there is snow and cold. The season is here, please, for those of us who celebrate spring. Can we just feel it for a while and maybe not like delve right from a couple of days of spring into summer prematurely? That would be awesome. Just to experience the season of spring, we so need it. And you know what else we need? Great music. Boy, have I got a lady for you. In the third hour of the show, really excited to get to know Lisa Hilton, small town, Central California coast gal, played the piano early, composed, educator, mentor. Oh gosh, does she mentor? Wait till you hear what she does in her spare time, as if she has any. New CD out called Kaleidoscope. Can't wait to share that. But as is the usual case, for the beginning of the show, most of the time, we play a classic. Grant Green on guitar. Number one Green Street from Green Street, the name of the album from 1961, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thanks so much for joining us. Thank you. This is Hybrid Jazz.
Ask me how do I feel now that we're cozy and clinging. Well, sir, all I can say is if I were a bell, I'd be ringing. From the moment we kiss goodnight, that's the way I just gotta behave. And if I were a lamp, I'd light. Or if I were a banner, I'd wave. Ask me how do I feel, little me, with a quiet upbringing. Well, sir, all I can say is if I were a gate, I'd be swinging. And if I were a watch, I'd start popping my spring. Oh, and if I were a bell, I'd go ding, dong, ding, dong, ding. Ask me how do I feel from this chemistry lesson I'm learning. Well, sir, all I can say is if I were a bridge, I'd be burning. Well, I knew my morale would crack from the wonderful way you look. Boy, if I were a duck, I'd quack. Or if I were a goose, I'd be cooked. Ask me how do I feel now that we're fondly caressing. Pal, if I were a salad, I know I'd be splashing my dressing. Or if I were a season, I'd surely be spring. Yes, and if I were a bell,
boy, the only trouble with that song is it's too doggone short, less than 2 minutes and 30 seconds. If I Were Belle, Dinah Washington, oh, such a strong voice, recorded in April of 1956. Ruth Lee Jones, who became Dinah Washington, just tore it up, man. She just, when she was walking on this earth, there was nobody like her. And I just read, it refreshed my memory because there was some time ago I had saw this the first time and thought, wow, cool would that be? Early in her career, she landed in Chicago, and the folks that were trying to push her got her in a club called The Garrick. And Dinah was upstairs and Billie Holiday was downstairs. That must have been something. That went on for a little bit. So just to have been a fly on the wall of the conversations that took place, two of the most premier vocalists in music, but they really were not known as that at that time. Just amazing stuff. That particular tune from In the Land of Wi-Fi, featuring Cannonball Adderley on alto sax, and Junior Mance was on that too, collection of jazz, pop, and blues standards. And just amazed at the life of Dinah. Just reading a little bit today, died at the age of 39, but had more life in those 39 years than most people who are in their 80s, married 7 times. I just chuckle about that so much because, of course, that's the standout fact when you read about Dinah Washington. There was so much more to her than that, but she was something, man. She really was full of life and lived each day. And I just wish she was around. One of those particular individuals whose singing style was such that it affected people that we love today. Most notably, in my mind, and I miss her so much, Amy Winehouse. I know that Tony Bennett had talked to Amy and had said that she reminded him so much of Dinah Washington, and she got tears in her eyes. That was one of her last public performances with Tony Bennett when they did that CD of his a couple of years ago. He loved her and said, I believe in you so much. And that duet on the CD that Tony recorded with a whole bunch of other artists tells the tale, man. Body and Soul, done by Amy and Tony, with that spirit of Dinah Washington and Amy so strong. Man. We also heard Firm Roots Live, Benji Parecki on piano, Mark Prince on drums, Brad Collins on saxophone and vocals. Firm Roots Live, recorded in Blues Alley, 2012. You heard Cold Duck Time with an extended organ piece there, especially for our good friend Beach, checking in from Southern California today. And Yolanda Bell in the chat room, too. I'm so glad to see Yolanda. Got to tell you about Benji and what he did on Sunday at Union Jacks in Annapolis. This was for the Mia Simone benefit, so we could all help to defray the costs of Mia's cancer, how shall we say, recovery. She's okay. She had a lot of work done. She had a lot of tests done. So far, so good. I saw her. And Mia looks extraordinary. She is a beautiful woman inside and out. And we're all so hopeful about the future. This was one of those get-togethers that everybody loved to do. Some major players in the house this particular day, including our good friend Kevin Walker, who we hope to have on Hybrid Jazz in the next few weeks or so. Oh, my gosh, so much is happening. Kevin was there, and Benji Parecki was there with the Grangers, Gary and Greg Granger. Gary joined Benji on stage, and with Blues Webb, they comprise the unit called WPG, Webb, Parecki, Granger. They tore up Annapolis so much, we are still buzzed about that. Benji, I'm telling you, we're about the same height. When he's behind that keyboard, it's like he is 7'5". The sound is so big. Ain't nobody like Gary Granger on bass. And then on drums, Blues Webb, who is known far and wide. Whew! It was just ridiculous. So we have to dig out some WPG to play for you in the next couple of shows or so, because you can't really get a taste until you see these cats live. Whenever you get a chance to see live music, especially supporting your town, please do that. You have no idea how humbled musicians are when they see you in the audience appreciating their music, laying down some money. We got money for everybody else, right? Everything else, that's for sure. Cars, beauty appointments, nails, you name it. We got to find better ways to pay for live music and show these folks who have tried so hard through the years to be a healing force for all of us. Got to show them more respect in 2014. We heard Grant Green, lead and side guitar man extraordinaire, recorded on April Fool's Day, 1961. Yes, sir. Ben Tucker on bass, Dave Bailey on drums. You heard Number One Green Street from Green Street. And it's pretty cool to note that Grant Green, very much underrated. You talk to anybody who loves guitar, who has researched the instrument, they will tell you that. His primary influences were saxophonists, oddly. Lester Young, Charlie Parker in particular, and he always had that blues groove underneath. That's why you could pinpoint Grant Green's sound so much. Always had that that undercurrent like Nick Colleone does, you know? Oh, love Nick. Got to find out what's happening with him. Let's go on to more music. Don't forget, Lisa Hilton is coming up in the third hour of the show. A gal who is beautiful, plays a beautiful keyboard, writes some gorgeous music, does her best to help those who are visually challenged, and I want to certainly ask her about that. Lisa comes from a small town on the Central California coast. I want to ask her about that, too. That sounds real intriguing. How does a gal who starts to play piano classically at a very tender age become this jazz giant that all these guys want to play with. I love that. Tim Green, we love him, from Baltimore, Maryland, one of the finer albums in the past couple of years to come from here or anywhere else. Songs from this season. This is the Billie Holiday penned song, Don't Explain, on Hybrid Jazz.
That makes the devil backtrack into his lair. Yeah, these young souls are soothsayers, spiritual players, accelerated graduators of this game called life. Spending 16s making Biggie breakdance and Frankie seem like Layla's dad, with 10,000 other souls watching true love withhold nothing. And through dry tears, we'll spend the next few years silently screaming, why? Until we realize that their spiritual awakening already understood their undertaking the moment they appeared in the womb playing rocker room, creating heated debates that should have been sparked sooner than the dark hell of December 2012. And now they dance the story of masters much faster than a polygamous pastor can tell a lie, faster than you can wipe from your eyes the soot of deceit. How these kids dance the story that tell us to delete the feeling of being incomplete from our consciousness, to let these 6 and 7 year olds take a hold of our consciousness, to remind us to laugh, scream, and let our inner child fly higher than deferred dreams seldom seen. Through the lens of love and gratitude, let's give our children love and gratitude. Fly high. Shine and fly high, and fly high, and fly high. And fly high, and fly high, and fly high, and fly high, and fly high.
Man, that is the beauty of Robert Glasper, apart from the, what can you say? the magnificence of what he is able to do on piano and the creativity that he has displayed, what he is also proficient in doing is making sure that people who you would otherwise not even conceive of working together are together, and then they absolutely blossom. Such is the case for Layla Hathaway and Malcolm Jamal Warner. All right? That's something else. I mean, I so enjoy that track anyway, Jesus Children, written by Stevie Wonder on Black Radio 2, Robert Glasper's experiment with Mark Kallenberg and Casey Benjamin and Derek Hodge and an absolute legion of other talent. Let me just explain something to you. And this is what I mean, because there are a couple of cases in point here. There is Common and Patrick Stump. There is Lupe Fiasco, Snoop Dogg, and Luke James. He's got Marsha Ambrosius, Anthony Hamilton, Nora Jones, whose birthday is coming up in the next couple of days, Brandy, yeah. He's got Dwele, Jill Scott. That particular song, Calls, is the one that I always hear on the radio, but you get my drift here. He is just able to see what some artists aren't able to see for themselves in the way of further potential. That song is just a dream. Released in October of 2013. Have to see if you can get a hold of what Malcolm Jamal Warner is doing. That TV show that he had on BET is no longer, from what I'm understanding, but he is, I believe, focusing more on his music career. Miles Long. You might want to check out his website. Layla, by the way, is doing her thing with an agency that is managing, I believe, both she and Ruben Studdard. So she and Ruben will be at the Howard Theater in June, which is pretty exciting. And Robert Glasper has a birthday coming up the day after my son's on April the 5th. So we tidied that up, didn't we? Jesus Children. Woo! Love that. Yusef Lateef from 1972, Nubian Lady. I think this is the first time that I've played that song since he's passed away. It makes me so sad. Every time I used to play the song, I used to get so excited about the possibility of maybe meeting him one day. But, oh, that was so crazy, I know. He had just turned 93 on October the 9th, and he passed away 2 days before Christmas. Multi-instrumentalist, composer, educator, musical visionary. You know, he was one of the first ones to combine jazz with Eastern music. Matter of fact, the New York Times had a beautiful obituary about him. And the person who wrote it so lovingly said that Yusef Lateef was doing world music, or creating his sense of it, before we had a name for it. That's pretty amazing, isn't it, when you think about that? Love him so. And, of course, it's a Kenny Barron song, Nubian Lady. Gentle Giant, 1972. Kenny was so young. Oh, I love him so. Such a beautiful collaboration. We heard Tim Green, Don't Explain, Billie Holiday song. He says on his liner notes, and you know why I love these liner notes, because they tell you so much of what you can't even surmise. Don't Explain, he says, is a beautiful ballad by Billie Holiday. I fell in love with the song after hearing the lyrics, and I chose to record it because it connects with my heart. I think that's the most important part in picking ballads that you want to play. Just a dream on that saxophone. And let us tell you who else was with him on this. Alto sax, Tim Green. Vibes, Warren Wolf. Another one of those Baltimore hometown heroes. Orrin Evans out of Philadelphia on piano. Rodney Green. There's another Green on drums. Chris Funn. Oh, my God, we love Chris Funn on acoustic bass, just a plethora of the young cats that are out there keeping jazz alive. Speaking of which, first of all, Tim is going to be at Jazzway 6004 on Saturday. This is a beautiful Frank Lloyd Wright-inspired house that's in Baltimore that Marianne and her husband have turned into a mini palace. It's a small little venue, so it's going to be perfect for Tim. That's the last time that we're going to see him for a while because he's on the road again with Michael Bublé, and they will be, again, a few months out there. So, yes, if you're touring with Michael Bublé, you are not mediocre. Yeah, and then Tim has this beautiful association that's full of love with Billie Holiday. It's going to be on April the 5th, day after my son's birthday once again, Saturday, so it's next Saturday. There will be the Billie Holiday Festival that's in the Fells Point, Canton area. I'm going to post it quite a bit on Facebook so you know. Baltimore Jazz Alliance is going to be there to sign up new members. Liz and Irene Yalenti will be there, yes. And we'll be giving you, as long as they last, some samples of free CDs, telling you about BJA, telling you about Billie Holiday. You can see the mosaics that are done in the neighborhood. Billie, of course, born in Philadelphia but came to Baltimore, so this is her neighborhood. So there are actual paintings on screens, doorways. This is what we do in Baltimore. We paint screens. And so much in the way of camaraderie and jazz lovers, people from all over the world are going to come to this. Again, it'll be on Facebook, and I'll put it on Twitter as well. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about Lisa Hilton coming up in the third hour of the show. Woohoo! Have heard so much about her. And I'm not intimidated. I'm feeling really comfortable. But when I run across a female in jazz who loves the genre, who breathes new life into it, who has amazing people around her to play with her because they want to so badly, who is a seasoned pro, writes beautiful songs, is completely empathetic to the universe, and believes fully that what we should try to do is reach into us and create music for now with a healthy nod to the past. I'm in love with this woman. Oh, so nice. We'll get to more of Lisa later. Let's play more music. This is, in essence, seriously, a combination of classical and jazz and Piazzolla tango. I'll explain more. From Tango Bittersweet. This is the German acoustic quartet known as Cuadro Nuevo, and a song called Milango Tati on Hybrid Jazz. Dum dum dum.
Consider love and sex as being necessarily inseparable. If you have no man of your own, you won't feel anything about taking someone else just for the sake of having him. Sounds harsh to say that you need sex more than love, but in a sense this is true. Being an independent and self-reliant woman. Because you are self-reliant, you have a compassion for sex. Aries women are very optimistic about sex, but once she loses this optimism, she is really wrecked. Aries women love to excel in many areas as possible, and sex happens to be one of them. With all the energy they possess, the gratification of sex and passion is like Mother Nature growing whenever the occasion calls. Aries women are attracted to sexy Leos and fiery Sagittarius. Aries the Ram, the planet of sexual energy.
Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Olha que coisa mais linda, mais cheia de graça, bela menina que vem e que passa, um doce balanço caminho do mar. Moça do corpo dourado do sol de Ipanema, o seu balançado é mais que um poema, é a coisa mais linda que eu já vi passar. Ah, por que estou tão sozinho? Ah, por que tudo é tão triste? A beleza que existe, a beleza que não é só minha, que também passa sozinha. Ah, se ela soubesse que quando ela passa, o mundo sorrindo se enche de graça e fica mais lindo por causa do amor.
Oh, if you could only know the impact of that particular project right there, 1964. Woo! So unbelievable for those of us who remember, even though we were quite young at the time, it just felt differently on the radio to hear this song and songs that would take on the atmosphere of Brazil. This particular collection of tunes was just so astronomically huge. That sounds a little bit dramatic, but I don't think that I can be dramatic enough. Grammy winning, to be sure, from Getz Gilberto, as in Stan Getz, and Gilberto, who was married to Astrud, who sang the song, The Girl from Ipanema. And on this album, by the way, LP, as it was then, was Antonio Carlos Jobim, who probably wanted to make sure his songs were being done with care on the album. And they were. Oh, good God. I don't even know what kind of money the girl from Ipanema made or how many people have tried to do it since, either vocally or instrumentally. And it would be really cool to ask Astrud, who's still with us. She's going to turn 74 on the 29th of March. Wrap your head around that, Shilin. Oh, Lord, it's so tough to think about this. Oh, it just seemed like yesterday. Sound like an old fogey when I say that, because I remember older people saying that when I was little. Oh, just seems like yesterday. But it really does. We heard Cannonball Adderley, too, from 1970. That was when it was recorded. It wasn't released until 1974. Recorded in Berkeley, California, and you can just almost hear in the background this. Oh, man, that was great. You can almost hear and smell the marijuana in the background. Love, Sex, and the Zodiac. Cannonball Adderley, Nat Adderley, Walter Booker, Roy McCurdy, George Duke, who I know from a time or two like to make sure he got a little bit of that weed. Oh, mercy, that was good. And Rick Holmes as the narrator, big Los Angeles disc jockey at the time. Rick Holmes capitalized on something that was real big. I can attest to that because I had a few of them back in the day, late 60s, early 70s. These Zodiac albums where you would find out what your personality was for each of the signs. Linda Goodman's Sun Signs book was real popular, and it was just exploding. So that, of course, was all about Aries. It's actually called Aries, damn right. With George Duke on piano. God bless him. Oh, so cool to hear that song. I know it was for grown folks. Sorry if I shocked you. Got to do a little something every once in a while to jolt you. Cuadro Nuevo, award-winning group. Oh, my gosh, are they ever. From Germany, who got together in 1996. And you heard a track from 2006, 2008. Tango Bittersweet, which is a really interesting subtopic from jazz. And here's the Reader's Digest version of this. People take their tango very seriously, and there have been people who have been physically hurt for tampering with the purity of that sound. But here comes this gentleman, Astor Piazzolla, Argentinian tango composer. And what he did was he kind of got classical and jazz and tango together. And the terminology here to use is Nuevo Tango, hence Cuadro Nuevo. So we've learned something today, haven't we? Yes, beautiful sound. And that accordion, that was Andreas Hinterscher. Mulo Francel also in this, Robert Wolf, and there's another gentleman in there too. Did I write his name down? Oh, yeah, D.D. Lauka. These names might not mean anything to you, but it's important to get these credits from time to time. So we heard three songs, and we're going to hear some more before Lisa Hilton joins us at the top of next hour. Sometimes we have guests during the 1 o'clock hour. Sometimes during the 2 o'clock hour, this is all Eastern time, of course, because we're doing the show live in Baltimore, Maryland, and sometimes we have guests in the 3 o'clock hour. Now, I will tell you ahead of time, come April the 30th, International Jazz Day, Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy is within the network of all of the, gosh, I don't even know how many there are, the outlets that will do something special for International Jazz Day. which will take place in Japan. And a lot of folks are gathering in different other places in the world to celebrate. So I had a call from the Monk Institute the other day. Thank you, Wendy, for that call. And Wendy asked if I was going to participate. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a special show on April the 30th. That's not a Tuesday or a Thursday. That's a Wednesday. So there will be one show that week. It will maybe be an extended show, and there are some surprise guests in the works. So cross your fingers that everything pans out. It would really be nice to focus on what the intention is of this International Jazz Day. Herbie Hancock and company had in mind that it was a peaceful endeavor in order to unify the world. So we're taking that very seriously. Yes, and I take Terry Lynn Carrington very seriously. Here she is from last year's Money Jungle, Provocative in Blue, along with Christian McBride and Gerald Clayton. This is very special on Hybrid Jazz. Thank you. is Hybrid Jazz.
There was a boy, a very strange, enchanted boy. He wandered very far over land and sea. A little shy and sad of eye. But very wise was he. And then one day, a magic day came my way. And while we spoke of many things, fools and kings, this he said to me, the greatest thing you ever just to love and be loved in return. Magic day came my way, and while we spoke of many things, fools and kings, this he said to me, the greatest thing. It's just to love and be loved in return.
Song has been in the works to play for a few weeks now, but each time there doesn't seem to be the pivotal moment, and today was it. I wanted to play that version by Jeffrey Osborne from his just blood-curdling amazing A Time for Love CD in honor of Nat King Cole, who made that song so famous. It was Nat's birthday. And I think that we were all thinking of him in mid-March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, I believe, was the date. Let me just look that up just to make sure. I think so. I don't know why I looked this up. I'm so obsessive-compulsive when it comes to this stuff. You know, I've looked for that date time and time again, but, you know, I always want to make sure it's correct. Nat King Cole, let me see. Yes, March 17th, 1919. And passed away on February 15th, 1965. I remember when he passed away for real. It was real heart-wrenching in our house. We loved him. It wasn't Christmas without the Christmas song by Nat King Cole. Saw him on television so many times. Loved his voice, every single person in my family. So it was like extended kin when he left us. Damn those cigarettes. Oh, I'm just going to say it. There's no polite way of saying it any other way, because that's what took him out, as is the case with so many people that we know. Just horrible. And I heard an advertisement today on one of the stations in the Baltimore area talking about these new flavored cigars that are being marketed for kids. What? Yes! And they're just as lethal as cigarettes. Oh, as somebody, I'll just tell you this, who smoked both back in the day, Temple University days, I'm sorry, cigarettes and cigars. Sometimes, this is how bad it is. If you have never smoked, you don't understand this, but sometimes, still, not a lot, but I taste it. It's not that I crave, but I remember that taste and realize why I got addicted. It was so bad for a little bit in my house. This is how spoiled I was. I was going to Temple University, had a busy schedule, but there's no excuse for this. When my mom went to the store, I asked her to get cigarettes for me. I could just slap myself for even telling you that and for doing that, but I did. It was just crazy. So don't even think about it. Thank God my son, who is going to be 22 soon, never even had the inclination. Oh, can I tell you how excited I'm about that? And I wish the same for you. If you're doing it, stop. Nat King Cole died a horrible death from those cigarettes. His lungs, I can't even imagine what they look like because he chain smoked. A lot of these artists did or do. Still, can't believe that. Anyway, I'm going off on this. Jeffrey Osborne, Nature Boy, A Time for Love, featuring Walt Fowler on trumpet, and that was a conscious decision by Jeffrey. He wanted that muted trumpet on this piece, which was great. Christian McBride on electric bass, John Roberts, J.R., Little John, on drums, Lenny Castro on percussion, and, of course, the producer of this magnificent work on Fender Rhodes piano and Legance Symphony. He had a Legance studio and his little symphony, George Duke. Love the man so much. Just thinking about, it's going to be a year in August that he left us. This year is zipping on by, isn't it? Just thinking about Al Jarreau and Stanley Clark, who are doing a few dates this year in a tribute to George. So if they're going to be coming to your town, make sure you go see them. In truth, Stanley and Al may be the only things that you'll like at that, in quotes, jazz festival. But go see them, because they're caught in the crossfire. Speaking of which, hold on to that thought. We heard Thad Jones from 1956, a little tribute to his land, Detroit. It's called Detroit, New York Junction, the name of that LP, it was. Blue Room, the Rodgers and Hart song, that's what he did for you. Thad Jones on trumpet. Billy Mitchell, also part-time anyway, from Detroit, on tenor sax. Tommy Flanagan from Detroit on piano. Kenny Burrell, also from Detroit, on guitar. Oscar Pettiford on bass. Shadow Wilson on drums. This was Thad's first session as leader for Blue Note. And I'm playing him today because his birthday, and he's not with us any longer, God bless him, he passed away in 1986, but we honor his birthday tomorrow. And the most famous song that he composed is A Child Is Born, which was also done by a wonderful gentleman who I love and miss. I don't see him as much anymore now because he's so busy. Mark Meadows, his birthday is today. Mark Meadows on piano does that song, A Child Is Born, and it's just beautiful. We heard, too, Terry Lynn Carrington, very special, from Money Jungle, Provocative in Blue, that was released last year, a nod to Duke Ellington's work from 1963 with Max Roach and Charles Mingus. Terry Lynn on drums in this particular setting, Gerald Clayton on piano, Christian McBride, there he is again, on bass. Terry Lynn Carrington's going to be at a festival that I am more than happy to tell you about, because there will be some festivals I will not be discussing on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. You know why? Because there ain't no jazz acts at the festivals. Say what? Yeah. It's just getting to be bolder and more obnoxious now. I saw a festival readout the other day, and I just about picked up the laptop and threw it across the room. It's labeled as such and such city jazz festival. No one, not a zilch. There is no jazz people in the jazz festival. It's all soul and R&B. And that's what it's becoming more and more like. Now, I understand this. Oh, God, here she goes in her soapbox. I understand this because there's no terrestrial radio that's playing jazz 24 hours a day, and that's a big fat bone of contention. And we all know that some of these smooth jazz stations shot themselves in the foot. We know that because there's only two or three people that are running smooth jazz based in Los Angeles. I digress. There needs to be full-time radio because, conversely, people are hearing, I'll just say the names, Charlie Wilson and Kem and Jill Scott and Erica Badu et al. On R&B and soul stations. But it's just a mockery, as someone said on a post on Facebook yesterday. It's a mockery of jazz to say that these folks are playing jazz. First of all, it's disorienting to people who don't necessarily know and maybe are expecting to come to a festival and hearing jazz. None of it. None of it. There might be a few licks, but honestly, I've seen Spira Gyra and these amazing groups that have done work for years take a big back seat to folks who aren't worthy to shine their shoes. Seriously? I mean that. I don't care if somebody is offended by that, but I love some of these R&B acts. I truly do. And some, you know, rock acts like New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival, that's a joke. It's not really jazz, and it's not really New Orleans heritage. It's big rock acts coming from the north and taking over. So you've got all these other genres that are playing at what has been heretofore called jazz festivals, and they're not. We got to do something about that. So anybody that has any money that wants to help me get the damn Hybrid Jazz radio station off the ground, I'll give you my number, 410-686-4424. Terry Lynn Carrington's going to be at the Dave Brubeck Jazz Festival in Stockton, California, this Saturday. It's sold out. That should tell you something. Al Jarreau's headlining one night, Friday, I believe. Terry Lynn Carrington is bringing Helen Sung, and she is also going to have who? Teneke Postma, I think. It's going to be mostly all women, and a birthday girl who you're going to hear momentarily, Tia Fuller. Terry Lynn Carrington sold that doggone seating area out. That's another bone of contention. Not a lot of women at these festivals. I'll go on. Tia Fuller is 38 today. Yes, sirree, Bob. Saxophonist, composer, educator, angelic warrior. Was real big for her a couple of years ago. Let's get to it. And maybe we'll engage Lisa Hilton in this conversation during the third hour, shall we? Let's see. This is a song called Descend to Barbados. Let's get ourselves in a more mellow mood, shall we? On Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you.
Thank you.
so great to hear that saxophone of the one, the only, the late, great Michael Brecker and his quartet from By George, 1998, song written by Joey Calderazzo on piano, James Genus on bass, Jeff Tane Watts on drums, Don Elias on percussion, and Cheltenham, PA's Pride and Joy, Michael Brecker, doing his thing. Two Blocks from the Edge is the name of the CD, and had to play Michael because the memory of his birthday comes up on the 29th of March, just a couple of days away. Passed away far too soon in 2007. Miss him terribly. And it would be it's always really a cool thing to do, to try to get old school and new school back to back, as we did in that case, because Tia Fuller started that two-song set. Tia is in Munich right now celebrating her birthday, woohoo, with Terry Lynn Carrington's Money Jungle. Then Tia comes with Terry Lynn for the Mosaic project that they're going to do at the aforementioned Dave Brubeck Jazz Festival on the 29th. So there, making sure you know. Angelic Warrior, the name of the CD, and you heard Descend to Barbados, strong roots in Barbados, Tia has. She collected her friends for this particular project, including Mimi Jones on upright bass, John Patitucci on bass as well, also her sister, Shamie Royston, and Rudy Royston, her brother-in-law, on piano and drums, respectively. Love to make sure we cover those birthday folks, and today is the day, 38, shall I say it? How many times have I said it? Tia Fuller, I got clothes older than you. Oh, having fun. Lisa Hilton is coming up, hopefully at the top of the hour. We're going to try to work this out real well so that we can make sure that when she's on hold for just a little bit, she can hear one of her songs from this brand new Kaleidoscope CD. And if you haven't heard about this, let me just tell you that on this, the amazing Lisa plays piano, Larry Grenadier is on bass, Marcus Gilmore is on drums, and J.D. Allen on tenor sax. She's not playing. This is something else. Title track, Kaleidoscope, from the CD on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Where is it? Let me find it. There it is. Oh, no, did I want to play that? Yeah, let's play the title track. See, this is one of the reasons why, for so many of us, we get smitten listening to Lisa Hilton. She has a way of playing the piano in a different way than most people that I've heard, certainly, and I've been around for a little bit, hearing a lot of people play. What she does, and maybe I would be able to have ascertained this if I didn't know that she majored in art in college, she's got a pretty unique way of looking at how she believes music should be created. First, it should reflect the current times with a nod to the past, and I love that. How many times have we talked about that? Secondly, in having been an art major in college, she learned to view the world in a different way, in layers and in what goes first, and how can we embellish on this? How can we brighten this up? How can we add texture to this? What do we have to do to show balance? So that's the way she approaches music. This is why it's so beautiful to listen to her, because as you're listening to her, you can almost see a painting being done musically. It's a beautiful thing. Pianist, composer, band leader, published author, educator, and mentor. My pleasure to give you Lisa Hilton. Hey, Lisa.
Hi. What an introduction. Wow. That makes my morning. Definitely.
I'm so glad. And you made mine because, you know, women in jazz have been a big topic lately for me and this show and a lot of things that are going on in the United States and all over the world. So when I came across you, my heart just turned over. And then your philosophy, which is so beautiful, and how much you give back. I'm a big, fat fan of yours, Lisa.
Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate, I'm speechless. Thank you.
Oh,
I really appreciate it. You know, as an artist, you're out there creating your art 365 days a year, and most of the time as a composer, you know, it's me, myself, and I, and then when you have a new release and you come out in public and you're not sure, will people like the new tunes? And then it just starts, you know, this is like Christmas. Hearing that kind of thing, it just feels like it's a holiday. So it was worth all of the work. And the album Kaleidoscope's just been out, as you know, just about 3 weeks, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So anyhow, well, that's good to hear.
Listen.
That you really picked up on the artistic approach.
With you, honestly, I've learned now, having listened to Kaleidoscope a couple of times, people, especially disc jockeys, and this is a sensitivity factor, through the years, since I've been doing this since 1976, we had sliders back in the day so we could mix the music properly. On Blog Talk Radio here, we can't mix it, and I miss that. We have to wait for the song to be over. Sometimes it's a little bit of a trigger-happy thing to suppose where a song is going to end, but with you, you take such time in making sure that something ends properly. The production is so nicely done, and then you want to definitively have a beginning, middle, and end of each song. So it's like lingering in the cocktail hour on a beautiful California sunset day, and I never want it to freaking end.
Well, that's creating visions for all of us there. So.
good. Speaking of California, tell me about your little coastal town. This is so intriguing that you learned to play classical piano on the California coast.
Well, I grew up in a small town, and so we were bored. No. There was, you know, plenty of free time. Everyone thinks a small town is a great place to grow up, but, you know, there's less to do. So we spend a lot of time outdoors, and we spend a lot of time, you know, with music and dance and arts and that kind of thing. I was obsessed with the piano from a really young age. And so my mom said, oh, you're not going to practice. I'm not going to let you have lessons. And I said, no, 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 I'll practice, Mom. And so I actually had to wait because she didn't. She goes, your sister didn't practice. I'm like, well. And she said, your other sister didn't practice. I'm like, yeah, she really didn't practice. And so I had to wait till I was 8 for lessons. So in the meantime, I taught myself basically how to read with those little colored dots above the keyboard, those little paper keyboard that you can put in with different colors, and then you go red, red, blue, blue, yellow, 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 and learn how to read the notes and play the notes at the same time. So I was able to start that way, and then, of course, you know, the colors got pretty boring pretty quickly, so I started composing my own little pieces, and that would have been, you know, around 6 or so. But nothing like what Mozart did at that age, but that was the beginning. And then I studied not just classical, but at the time what was called modern music. We now call it 20th century music.
Yes.
Stravinsky, Prokofiev, Bartok, Kabalevsky. So that was a nice basis and, you know, a little bit of atonal music. And then it's just really the last 15 years been totally immersed in jazz and really wanting to explore that area. And the idea about Kaleidoscope is that I think that we can bring all our interests into music these days. So you can hear a little classical touches. You can hear minimalism. Definitely some of, you know, a little Prokofiev here and there, as well as, you know, contemporary rockers or musicians too. I think that that's a definite direction for jazz. And
yes.
So you hear a little, I think it's about diversity, not just in our culture, but in music. I think
for sure.
That,
yes.
You know, these days, every music is at your fingertips. You can go on YouTube and you can listen to polka music and you can listen to music from Africa and you can listen to early jazz and you can listen to, you know, rap, just like that, one thing after another. So I think our music needs to reflect that we have a diversity of everything these days. And so that's the idea behind Kaleidoscope, that if you were to look through that child's toy and everything was just the color red or just the color blue, it wouldn't be as exciting. It wouldn't be beautiful. It's really through the mixture and the change, the constant change, that's where the beauty of that you see in the kaleidoscope. And I think that our society is better when it has the mixture of all of us, you know, young, old, pretty, plain, athletic, disabled, all of that. So it's just kind of my philosophy about life right now.
And, Lisa, you couldn't have done this at a better time and explained it the way you just did, because it's not that this was a conscious decision, but in putting music together for the show today, because the show is 3 hours, and I wanted music actually that you inspired me to either research or have next to what you were going to offer. And in trying to do that and trying to figure out, okay, what would Lisa Hilton do? I stumbled across a couple of artists that I haven't played for a while. And it's really interesting to go back to the first song I played, Grant Green, from 1961. Grant was one of those underrated guitarists, and for whatever reason, he just had this ear for being the consummate sideman, but he was also a leader. And what he did was he infused the blues in much of what he did with his jazz. And then I turned my attention to Yusef Lateef, who I absolutely love, and I lament the fact that I never got a chance to meet him. He passed away, of course, 2 days before Christmas at the age of 93. And I forgot about the fact that early on in his career, he had delved into Eastern music and how it could find its way into jazz. And one of the writers who did a sweet obituary for him in 2013 said he was incorporating world music before anybody knew maybe what world music was. So in a way, in a strong way, you are following in the tradition of this greatness, and you are yourself because your vision of music is so magnanimous. It's really, and it comes from that good heart, and I want to certainly delve into that because you really do believe in giving back in a big way. And this music has such a sense of love about it on Kaleidoscope. You can almost feel your heartbeat when you hear each track.
That's nice. Thank you.
It is.
That's good engineers, don't you think?
Well, yeah, let's plug them. That's pretty good if you can do that, man.
I remember the very first time I was recording with some really amazing musicians, and my heart was beating so loudly. I was so nervous. I was wondering if it would have been picked up by the microphone. Hasn't yet, but I'm glad that you can hear my heart in not in a literal way, but that you are able to hear it through the music. Well, I love it, and I think that it is a passion. I think a lot of times when we hear musicians, they love to play.
Yes.
And I love to play the piano, but that is where they're primarily coming from, is they are players. They love to play. Well, although I love to play, I am even more a composer. I'm just passionate about that. It's actually difficult for me to play other people's music. It's more like wearing, you know, somebody else's clothes, even though it's, you know, maybe a great coat or hat, but, you know,
that's
Stacy's coat, or that's Miles' hat or whatever. So even though I do explore other musicians, to actually play and perform and record, it's harder for me. I am passionate about communicating, connecting this world that we share through my art, which is the music, you know, jazz and piano. And so I'm glad that you can hear that.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. It's there's a warmth. And now that I talk to you, because I'm always curious, I love the music. What will this person sound like? But you have a particular kind of natural sweetness and warmth that comes through. And the music is so intelligent as well as hearing the passion in it. And that's a turn on too, because, you know, you've been doing this for quite a while. So you truly have learned that what you want to convey in a musical piece is not only something that needs to be heartfelt because you can't do anything else because it's you, but secondly, you want to have it done in an intelligent way where adults can respond to it. But in the meantime, look at all these kids that you've inspired too. You really have.
I do hope. I think one thing is I really do enjoy giving what I would like to receive. And in my small town that I grew up in, we didn't have musicians, you know, professional musicians come to our school. I do remember a guy that came and did rope tricks or something. But we didn't have a lot. And so I do try and get out to classrooms and share the music, and it's become an annual thing, sometimes a couple times a year, and I've decided to focus with those children with disabilities, in particular those who are blind or visually impaired, and I just think if music means that much to me, if I was not sighted, that it would mean even more. So I really try and reach out, and I've ended up just enjoying myself so much, and I'm always trying to figure out why. But I think that if you're lucky enough to spend time around students with physical disabilities, you gain so much out of it. Because, Trish, we all have challenges. We do. And those people that are dealing with physical challenges, you can see their challenges. And when you see someone who is blind or visually impaired or have other disabilities navigating their life, well, you know, whatever issues that we have seem a little more manageable. And so I just think that I feel lucky, you know, honored to be able to spend time. And I normally start out my tour season now. I go to Junior Blind of America. As far as I know, there's only three people that have played, that have performed there. And
oh, wow.
Myself, and then Stevie Wonder is on the board. He's played there a few times. And the other person, if you could imagine how enjoyable it would have been, Michael Jackson playing for a group of children that were visually impaired. I can't even imagine how exciting that would have been. But,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
He really he would reach out and really connect with kids. So, as
For sure. I was. It's so funny because I just heard Tom Joyner today on his syndicated radio show talk about a Michael Jackson impersonator who was on this last cruise that they did. And they couldn't find him one day. And this guy had taken it upon himself that he wanted to be so like Michael Jackson, not just on stage, but he went to a children's hospital at one of the ports just so he could visit kids.
Oh.
Isn't that cool? Well,
That is. That definitely is. Well, I enjoy it, and I try and work with Junior Blind of America here in Los Angeles. I've gone to outside of Boston. There's Perkins School for the Blind. It was Helen Keller's alma mater. I've gone to Chicago Lighthouse for people who are blind or visually impaired. And then at Berklee College of Music, in Boston, they are actually developing, they have a whole lab there for visually impaired students so that they
can
work on some of their assignments with special technology. And I'm excited because I think in certain areas we're going to be able to close that gap with technology so that those people who have a visual impairment can it's easier for them to get jobs or easier for them to access some things that we take for granted. And
yes.
So I'm kind of excited about how that's developing.
I hear you on a level that you don't even realize, Lisa, because my son will be 22 in the next week or so, and we knew that he had Asperger's syndrome under the autism spectrum when he was 5 or 6. So accompanying that are some challenges that people may perceive to be physical. So in navigating our way, watching him go through this challenge and mastering it, because he's on the dean's list now at college, hello. Yes.
Yeah.
So I fully appreciate what you say. So many people don't understand that if you take the time with someone who has a challenge in their day-to-day, it literally turns their world around to such a degree that what was or could have been a hopeless situation turns 100% hopeful just for the attention that you give them.
Yeah. I agree completely, and I'm sure that you are so in such admiration, and when you see someone, like I said, when they're able to overcome their challenges, then we realize we can manage ours as well. So I think that's amazing that he's on the dean's list, and everything's going to be fine. Some of the kids, too, that I'm around, they have multiple disabilities, and I think we need to help those most in need, too. And many, you know, there are those people with disabilities that will not be able to play an instrument and will just enjoy it on a more superficial level, and that's fine, too. I still want to reach out when I can and share something that I get a lot of passion with and, you know, just walk through life trying to, you know, help where we can. And so I try and stop by and do that a few times a year whenever I can.
Well, there was absolutely no way to do an interview with Lisa Hilton and not talk about this, because this is part of the reason why. You know, you've stopped to think about this a lot, Lisa, I'm sure. why is it that somebody's music will resonate with you and somebody else who may be touted as the best thing since sliced bread, you know, you don't necessarily find that resounding chemistry with that particular artist. And it's sometimes a matter of knowing where the artist's heart is. When you realize that there is a big heart, you can hear the honesty and authenticity in the music. And what you're saying, what you do with children or however old they may be, that even if they can't play music, it changes them for life as to how they hear music, which is awesome. If they hear your voice and they can't see you, and the way you play and the way you speak to them, they're able to completely focus on the positive joys of instrumental music, and that infiltrates everything they do for the rest of their lives.
Well, we all hope that what we do in our lives helps a little, and so I think it's good. I make the effort, and you know, I hope it helps. I think that's all we can do, is extend ourselves, and hopefully over time it makes a difference. You know, that's the best we can hope for. I know once I was at in Boston at Perkins School for the Blind, and the students were coming in for the program that I was going to play for them. And, you know, it was a little raucous. You know, everyone was filing in, and people were talking, and you know, just general school noise before an assembly. And the president got up to speak, and everyone continued to be noisy. And then I got up and started to play, and everyone got quiet, like you could hear a pin drop. And he's won't you be quiet while I'm talking? Why? I felt like the Pied Piper, because the kids were really listening. And so that I find that very exciting. You know, some people, I have heard they see not visions, but they can visualize things when they listen to my music. I'm always a little curious about that, and perhaps you do as well. But I was wondering, maybe those people that are not sighted, maybe they have visions in their mind when they listen to my music. I don't know. But
That's think very interesting, yes. Ooh.
Do you have a favorite?
Go ahead, because you know what? We do this when we dream, right? I mean, you can't dream with no pictures, right? So
right.
That's an interesting subject. What were you going to say? I'm sorry.
I was going to say, Trish, do you have a favorite tune from Kaleidoscope? Do you have a favorite at all?
You know what? I went back and forth. I knew maybe that you would ask this. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 songs that I've picked for the program today, and I was going to play 3 for sure. I already played the title track, Kaleidoscope. I'm very intrigued, Lisa, by Bach, Basie, Bird, Boogie Blues, Bob. Hello.
That was hard to pronounce. Well, Kaleidoscope, we already talked a little bit about, but it's the idea of mixing different elements in. And although you might not be able to hear it on the recording, I'm actually using some different kinds of techniques when I'm touching and playing the piano. For example, I'm using my whole arm and to get part of the action going on, but using different kinds of improvisational techniques, because jazz has been kind of rigid about how to use improvisation. And so what I like to do is take the concept of improvisation and push it in different ways. So that's kind of what's going on with Kaleidoscope. And then Bach, Basie, Bird, Boogie Blues, Bob is probably a pretty goofy name, but it's that idea of, you know, the gods of music, perhaps, Bach. And I've always been a big fan of Bill Basie or Count Basie, the pianist. The rumor has it that he could make a single note swing. And I like that simplicity in jazz. I like just a good, clean, swinging line. So he's always been a good example for me. Bird, of course, Charlie Parker, one of the instigators, one of the very first proponents of bop. And I've been studying him. I really like his music. I think, personally, I think it has a lot of classical influences in it. So I've been looking at that. As a little girl, my favorite was always Boogie, so I put that in. Blues, most of my music is influenced by blues. Of course, that was one of the elements of jazz once upon a time, that it had to have, you know, the elements of blues in it. And so that's where that name came from. So it has a little bit of everything, and you can hear it when you play it. That one's pretty fun to play live, too. But one of my favorites is I really liked that Whispered Confessions, how that was.
Oh, yes.
Just trying to come up with a classic kind of, I admire our Great American Standards and the Great American Songbook very much. But those tunes are very romantic from that period, and I've tried to write what I call new standards. Well, they're not, but they're written kind of in that form, form, and have that vibe and feeling, but they come at it from, you know, a 21st century sensibility, so that even though it might, you know, seduce you into thinking that it's classic, it definitely goes off in different directions, too. So that one has some kind of modal stuff going on and some surprises along the way. So that was one of my favorite ones. Somebody asked me if the Confessions was a Sunday morning confession, and I'm like, no, it's more like a late night, Friday night confession, not a Sunday morning confession. So,
and listen, I have to tell you, you don't know, Whispered Confessions is one of my favorites, and here's why. And look, there's no reason why it can't become a new standard. You know what? It flashed me back to the time of Noel Coward. It flashed back to elegance and people who were lingering over a love that maybe shouldn't be. So people went into another room or exchanged looks across the room, and you didn't even speak about it, but it was this longing, and all of that was conveyed in that song. So you don't know. I think it's a new standard.
Well, I like that kind of, I just like to experiment. And you're right, I do like to paint different colors, different energies, different vibes. So the album, there's something for everyone. Each one has each tune, each composition has a different energy and colors to it, and I really start out with the basic elements of music, much like you would start out a painting with, you know, the red and the blues and the purples. I start with the compositional form and the rhythm and the what key it will be in. And then after those basics are down, then I feel like I get in there and I sculpt it and I put some texture on and add a little, it feels like art. It really does. But you're just using different elements. So that's my art background. I originally started in music, but then I felt like the training at the university seemed like it was to be more for if I wanted to play in the Philharmonic or something, and I couldn't see my future that way.
Mm.
So that's why I pulled back from music, got a degree in art, and then now I feel I'm able to bring both of those things into my music. So,
you definitely do. It seems like with each step, and now that you've explained it, even more so. It reminds me, you might not remember, but I do, one of the most enjoyable programs that was on PBS long ago was that beautiful artist who was able to create pictures right in front of your eyes. He had a very gentle voice. He's no longer with us. He used to say, I'm going to put a little tree right here. And he would create this gorgeous tree. And then he would paint a sky. So by the end of this half hour, he had this magnificent portrait. And with each step, you could tell he enjoyed it. It was with love that he did everything. And that's who you give. You give me this vibe of that kind of joy in each step of the process.
Oh, cool.
That's, yes, it's
well,
very
now I
cool.
have super help, too. I have, you know, I'm going to just say it, the greatest band in the world, or certainly who I feel is the greatest band in the world. So it's really all of us that are, it's our own kaleidoscope. My band is a kaleidoscope. I've got Larry Grenadier on bass, who's really works for so many people. Brad Meldow, whose work I love. Pat Metheny, he's done quite a bit of work with him. Chris Potter, he has his own fly trio as well. So he's a terrific bassist. By now, he feels like family to me. You know, like a brother-in-law that you see, you know. And then J.D. Allen, I've been working with for a while. Larry Grenadier, the bass player, he's from Northern California, San Francisco area. J.D. Allen, my tenor sax player, he's from Detroit. He's got that deep Detroit sound that everybody goes crazy over.
Wow.
One of the nicest guys. I really appreciate, he calls me Sis. I love that. And he's just an incredible player. I think he is one of our grand, you know, maybe our greatest tenor sax player of this time.
Oh, my.
Your eyes on. And then I used a new drummer this time, Marcus Gilmore. I had seen him playing for a few years and kind of been keeping my eye on him. And then I had the opportunity to meet him last year. He's real nice. And so I thought, well, I wanted to try something different to mix things up on Kaleidoscope. So we worked together for the first time. I didn't realize he's the grandson of Roy Haynes, the great drummer, one of our greatest living drummers.
Yes.
I didn't realize, but he's, I think he's around 27 or so. So I think that, and he is from the New York area. So I think that our band is like a kaleidoscope as well. And I'm from California, from the coastal area of the Central Coast in California. So I think that created our kaleidoscope. It was great fun, and we get along really well. We don't rehearse. I talk about each tune and what the meaning is for me and kind of discuss the overall vibe, and then we record, and then we're done about 45 minutes. So you hear about all bands taking new music out and going and practicing or touring for a couple of months and then going into the studio. Nope. I take more of the Miles Davis book on this one, and we just get in and we record.
That's really interesting, because you really want to have the authenticity of feeling the music as it plays. That's a beautiful thing. It really is.
Very exciting.
Oh my gosh.
A little, you know, can be stressful, and I will say it's not unusual where we finish and the guys will just start laughing from relief that, you know, we made it. Every once in a while I'll have a tune, I'll try and see if I can shake them, you know, maybe go a little extra fast or something like that. I never can, but we have a good time, and they are just extraordinary players, all leaders. They're not sidemen. They're all leaders in themselves, but definitely the musicians to watch for and really listen for, especially J.D. Allen, great sax player, and Marcus, we're going to be hearing from him for a long time. He has Jason Moran and Chick Corea and DJ Ira as well, so really, really great band, just been wonderful, and I'm thrilled to be with them.
And they are thrilled to be with you, because let's just be honest, you have created quite a buzz through the years, and especially with Kaleidoscope now, it's as if each time you turn out something, hardcore critics are reduced to rubble when they try to describe you, because you always step it up and you increase the complete listenership of anybody who's wanting to hear more. You always give us more. So all of those men that you've just described, they are thrilled to be working with someone who is a consummate artist like you. Trust me.
Well, thank you. I've been very lucky to work with really terrific, incredible people throughout time. It's just been very fortunate for about 8 years, just working with really the best jazz players in the universe, right?
Yes.
They're the best jazz players right here in the United States. So they are the best. So anyhow, I've been very fortunate. And I really care a lot, Trish, about sound. So I've always sought out the best engineers. I feel that the sound of an instrument, my sound or any musician's sound is based on who they are, the artist, their instrument. And since I play the piano, you know, that I don't travel with a piano, so my sound is based on the instrument that's available. And
oh, my, yes.
And how the instrument is mic'd and all that. So I give a lot of credit to the great engineers, and I think on each album there's about 5 or 6 engineers, but James Farber does a lot of work for ECM artists. He was the recording engineer, and then the Al Schmidt, who has 22 or 23 Grammys, was the mix engineer, and Gavin Morrison who is a multi-Grammy winner as well, did the mastering on the album. So all good friends, all incredible engineers that work behind the scenes to get that incredible sound that we all like. So it's always a lot of work and exciting, and it's been a great sense of teamwork as well. And like I said, now people get to hear it, and I'm always saying, what's your favorite song? And I played last week and got a great response. So, and I'll be in San Diego April 15th, PAX Day. If any of your listeners are in the San Diego area, I'll be there at the City College, the Community College, sponsored by the local jazz radio station there. So that'll be fun.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Lisa, I know that I promised your wonderful people, your very organized team of people, that I would hold you for a certain time, and I'm going to let you go. I'm glad you mentioned the San Diego gig. You have a website, and that is the best place to get in touch with you should anyone want to purchase Kaleidoscope. Is that right?
Oh, sure. The music is everywhere, you know, on iTunes or Amazon or CD Baby, any of your usual internet sources, of course. Lisa Hilton Music, it's nice if you want to go on. All the bios on all the artists are up there. And
yes.
You know, any other information. There are videos, of course. YouTube is Lisa Hilton Music as well. We do have the new video up there on Midnight Mania. I think it came out pretty cool. I like working with this young director, and so he's been doing the last few videos of mine. He's 23 years old. He's based in New York.
And oh, my.
He's actually been doing quite a bit of work with Skrillex, so that's kind of an odd combo, is Lisa Hilton and Skrillex, but he's very creative. We're working on another one right now, too, so keep posted on that. But I like to work with very creative people, whether it's the engineers, the musicians, the video director. I just like creating that energy around a whole project that's very, that word overused, creative and, artistic.
Yeah, and also I would imagine that there is a strong positive vibe in the room because you are so. So when you have that creativity and the absolute decision making that we are all going to work as a team and we're going to create something of beauty, I'm sure that every time it turns out terrific. Case in point, this whole project, I really love every song, and I'm going to let you go. Yes, I do. I really do. And I'm so excited because I get so enamored of the fact that this is a strong female who plays jazz. And your playing is so magnificent. You surround yourself with these great people, and you write in such a way to draw somebody in. So we're going to leave the little talk that we have here with Whispered Confessions, since you spoke about it, if that's okay with you.
All right. Thank you so much. It's been so much fun chatting with you. I love to talk music, and I love to share what we've been working on. Thank you.
Oh, Lisa, thank you, and I hope to see you sometime for real this year so I can feel the way you speak. There's a serenity in you, and I can't wait to see that pop when it's on stage.
Okay, I hope that happens. Great.
Thanks, Lisa. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Lisa Hilton there, and... Whoa, that's really a special kind of energy. A lot of wisdom in this artist. And you know what? All that wisdom and that passion and that love infused in these tunes on Kaleidoscope. And I'll tell you where at the end, before the end of the show, actually, since we've got 20 minutes left, I'll make sure that you know again where to find her. This is Whispered Confessions from Kaleidoscope, Lisa Hilton, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you.
change avec chaque saison. Une beauté vue partout. Toi et moi sommes juste comme les fleurs, besoin de pluie pour survivre. Thank you.
I'll just let my husband drift there. He'll fade out. Lionel Richie, woo, from 1983. Can't Stop Now, the name of that project, Love Will Find a Way, that he wrote with Greg Fillinganes. On this particular album, by the way, Nathan East, David Foster, and Thomas Dolby, who's coming to Baltimore to do an experimental project for Johns Hopkins University. Isn't that exciting? Woohoo! Lionel's on tour. He's in Japan now. He's coming to a town near you. Wolf Trap for those folks in our area. We heard Groove School with Lori Williams from a limited edition, Vanessa in Springtime. Lori, the Helen Hayes Award nominee for her part as Ella Fitzgerald in Ladies Swing the Blues. Go to LoriJazz.com and find out more. Thank you to Lisa Hilton. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, BJ. Thank you, Yolanda. Thanks to everybody who joined us today on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. What a blast we had. We'll see you next Tuesday with Sheikh Ndoye from Senegal, now from D.C. He's got exciting news. See you. Have a great weekend. Be careful.